show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Yeah, I had my daughter in here, and she seems to have disappeared. Where can I find the customer service desk?
Over there, in the media corner.
I found Julie!
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for June 23rd, 2010. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I am jubilant.
Jubilant? Isn't that one of the like Roman holidays? Also with us, we have my daughter, Julie, as I alluded to. I found her over there in the media corner. She's helping out on the video. She is our video engineer.
Say hi, Julie.
Hi.
She's mic'd up. She's got the earphones. She's got the show notes. She's flipping webcams on me, and she'll be in charge of taking care of all the pictures, one of which we need to throw up on the camera now because we want to remind you that this show is brought to you by the good people over at Citrix. As my camera goes off and the still image comes up, showing you the great graphic of how easy it is to connect from one PC or Mac to another over the internet using nothing more than a web browser.
Aww.
That's right. You can try it free for 30 days. Just go to assist.com/techpodcast to see what's on someone else's screen, file sharing, live chat. It's SSL. It's all encrypted. It's great. It's wonderful.
It's like this. It's like they're describing the problem to you on the phone. My computer's got this, doesn't it? And you're just kind of getting this gray cloud over your head because you're getting confused. All of a sudden, go to my PC or go to Assist.
Go to Assist.
Comes in, the cloud's part, and there you go. There's your answer.
That's it. Yeah, that sunbeam, like God lives here, comes down, and yeah, free.
Odin or Zeus or whoever it is, he helps you out.
No more Thor throwing lightning bolts at the PC.
Yeah.
You'll have Frida helping you out on Frida's Day. You can try it Frida for 30 days. Go to assist.com/tech podcast. Julie, isn't it amazing that they still pay us for that ad spot?
Yes.
We have no script, but we just have talking points we have to hit.
Great Odin's beard. It's awesome.
By Thor's hammer, you will try it free for 30 days. Go to assist.com/tech podcast.
Wait, that was Grap Thor's hammer. What? Oh, that's wrong.
Right. Let us move along.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Coming up in this episode of Technorama, we have news from Fermilab stating that we could all be terribly, terribly wrong about this whole subatomic particle thing. Rent a friend, and what would you do if you time traveled back to 1977? Coming up right after this.
Hi, this is Grant Imahara from Mythbusters, and misconfirmed, you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
You can find culture at the theater. You can find culture in the bottom of an unwashed coffee mug. Or you can find culture on your iPod.
Welcome to Pod Culture. I'm Brad.
I'm Glenn.
I'm Christina.
I'm Adam.
Sometimes the geeking we do each week on the latest in comics, movies, video games, TV, and candy tends to make us just a little bit loopy.
He's going to find the jolliest bunch of assholes this side of the nut house.
Get these Mother Smurfing Tribbles off my
Monday to Friday
starship. Does Marcellus Wallace look like a tribble? So join in on the fun and get your geek on at podculture.net. We're out of here.
Cheers.
Be seeing you.
Have a good one.
Pod culture, equal opportunity geekness.
They certainly sound like they're having fun.
Just having something.
Shout out to the chat room. Chat room on my iPad. Actually, it's a third monitor, which I just love.
Wait a minute. What? You got a chat. Oh, you're using the. Oh, I was going to ask you what you're using to get on the chat room with your iPad.
No. I'm using it as a third monitor. This is colloquially off of the iMac, but if you install AirDisplay, the $9.99 application, you can use it as a third monitor over Wi-Fi. It's pretty cool.
Sweet. Sweetness.
Yeah, found that out from one of the guys at work. We have Gru, Testmad, Step K, C. Tomasi, Ben Vaughn, Claudio Mr. Mom, Captain Rootbeer has a great dad. Ain't that nice?
Yeah.
Homer Simpson best dad. Mr. C. Elliott, Nightstar, and the Nerd TV has the best dad.
What could be the theme?
And apparently Jay Vance has joined the room, left the room, and...
Hey, I know Mr. C. I get it. Mr. Cunningham?
From Happy Days.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, Mr. I know we're recording this on Father's Day. And happy Father's Day, Chuck.
Happy Father's Day, Craig.
Same to you.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day, Julie. It's like the Waltons. Everybody says good night.
Good night, John Boy.
Good night, Grandpa. Wait, I'm saying it to myself.
Sucks getting old.
Good night, self.
Looking at the birthday calendar, we've got Mark Shepherd in Kansas. Yay! We need the ding, ding, ding. Where's the ding, ding, ding?
At least one of them.
There's ding-a-lings all over this show.
Yeah.
On the 25th, also on the 25th, Jim Gookin from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Patrick Norton on the 26th. Didn't we go through this every year? Is Patrick Norton still listening?
I think he's got a birthday every month.
I think he's got like several birthdays on the calendar. I swear we just did this like in March.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, one of them's got to be right.
Also on the 26th, daughter of Will the Computer Guy and Martin McKay. Boy, we got a lot of West Coasties here.
He's 40 again.
Again? We did that like last month too. Either that or podcast time is just going by really, really fast.
Yeah.
Especially if you listen to several episodes at once.
Yeah, that's truth.
Happy birthday to all of them and you if this is your birthday week and we didn't call you out. You want to get on the wiki on the birthday calendar, go to chuckchat.com/wiki. That's easy to find, easy to spell. What more could you ask for? We'll make you a star.
We
also happen to be around, and if you don't happen to catch this live, you can get it on the, you know, you catch it in podcast form. A lot of you do, but we're also doing this live audio and video stream because that's Julie's job now, running the video, and I guess she's taking care of the audio too, as long as I get the wires piped around here.
Wait,
just
how much are we paying her?
What's that?
How much are we paying her?
Same as you and me.
Oh, sweet. Oh.
I told her we could take her to Dragon Con, but school gets in the way. They started the week before Labor Day.
Oh, sorry.
I told her she should go like the first 3 days and then go, I think I'm getting leprosy. I'm going to be out Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, that sucks. I think they've been creeping up the opening day around here, too, but we don't participate with the local public school, so I don't know.
That's just silly. That's just silly. And this is her senior year, too. So she's part of the Key Club. I said she should just make it like senior skip day, third day.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get this over with. You guys, none of this waiting till spring. I'm doing senior skip day now.
Every day senior skip day.
And then she could use her National Honor Society card, and it's like a get out of Friday free.
Well, I was thinking more like Chuck's a senior skip day.
Yeah, you're funny. Not that much older than you, pal.
That's true. Okay,
you can catch this online. Go to our website. We have it recorded. You can either watch it right there in Flash and see all of Julie's awesomeness doing her video creative work, or you can catch it on Ustream. They house everything for us. You have a note in here about Salute to Geek Fathers. Was it just saying Happy Father's Day to everybody?
Well, kind of that, but, you know, I was just going to say salute to all the geek fathers who try to sway their kids to the dark side.
Is it working, actually, Julie?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
We watched part of History of the World yesterday. That was funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
And she caught the last half of Watchmen with me today.
Ooh. Hmm.
That's a little too much nudity in there to feel comfortable watching that with a teenage daughter.
Yeah. Did you cover your eyes? Well, I know we're going to tread on Susie the Geek's, you know, her show, How to Grow Your Geek. But I was curious, what do you do to kind of embolden into your children some of the geekness that you've achieved over the years, you know, kind of pass along that kind of thing? Me, you know, I don't know. I take my son to the comic book thing, and we're kind of into comic books again a good bit. So that's coming around for me. And I don't know. He does know the value of carrying around my Nexus One, because he's like, "Oh, Dad, open up your Nexus One and search for this."
Yeah, I would say gadgets are a good one with Lisa. She's a gadget girl. She was playing with the iPad earlier today.
Oh yeah, yeah.
No, I can't eat chips while I'm on the air, Lisa. Crunch, crunch, crunch.
Or while Julie using your iPad either.
What else, Julie? We've been watching, she likes Star Trek and Star Wars and, you know, that kind of stuff. In fact, we've got some lined up later in the show that she helped pick out and was laughing at pretty good. So she's usually my first line of
geekdom. You
know, yeah, kind of a gauge of how things will go on the show. Because if she laughs, I know it's got to be good. Of course, she laughs at anything like her dad.
So, hey, like, well, my point is, you know, send us in what you do to, you know, you can call in or email and let us know what you do to embolden your kids into geekdom.
Is it comic books? Is it movies? Is it stories? Is it taking out lightsabers and beating each other to death?
Well, Harrison wants to play Dungeons and Dragons now.
We can't afford that. We just play Dungeons and more Dungeons.
What? Yeah, the dragons are pretty expensive to feed.
We just lock them in the dungeon in the basement and say, "Here, play." Yeah. Play with the rats. Yeah. You are faced with a fifth level rat. Good luck.
Good luck. Come.
All right, we have the news coming up. Throw up that wonderful graphic. Oh, Julie's slow on the images.
It's her first night. Come on.
All right, we'll give her a break on that one. She wasn't following along. I kind of pulled that one fast on her. All right.
And the good news keeps on coming.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this is good news or not, because the good folks over at Fermilab said we might actually have this wrong. This is via /dot.
Speaking of incorrect facts, that's what we were called out on, right?
Incorrect facts. We're going to have to check on that. What exactly does that mean?
Untrue.
Recent results from D0 experiment at the Tevatron. Yes, that's a real name. I didn't just make that up. It sounds like something steampunkish that the Tevatron. Yeah. The Tevatron Particle Accelerator suggests that those looking for a single Higgs boson particle should be looking for 5 particles. And the data gathered may point to new laws beyond the standard model. Oh, we're going to have the enhanced model. Version 1.2.
Just when they fired up the thing.
The D0... No, you're thinking about the LHC.
Yeah. Yeah.
The D0 results showed much more significant asymmetry of matter and antimatter beyond what could be explained by the standard model. Bogan Dobrescu, hope that's right, Adam Martin, and Patrick J. Fox, wasn't he in Back to the Future?
He was in Family Ties.
Okay.
Same different guy.
Yeah, wrong guy. From Fermilab... said this large asymmetry effect. See, I should have gone there. I could have had this firsthand news. This large asymmetry effect can be accounted for by the existence of multiple Higgs bosons. They say that the data point to 5 Higgs bosons with similar masses but different electric charges. 3 would have neutral charge and 1 each would have a negative and positive electric charge. This is known as the 2 Higgs doublet model.
Okay.
And a shave and a haircut. 2 Higgs.
I have hurdy brain.
Every time we get into this subatomic stuff, you go and get hurdy brain.
Kind of phase out there. I got up to algebra, and that's about as far as I went in school.
As soon as they started taking numbers out of the math, you got out.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What's this new math crap?
All right, Julie, we need the graphic because Lenny, we have to use Lenny's voice for the Hacks and Strange Stories.
Okay.
Yeah, get that shoe, love.
Hacks and Strange Stories!
This is from my sister Martha, and you'll notice how I spelled sister, S-Y-S-T-E-R?
Yes. She's a sysadmin sister.
When we were kids, okay, when we were in high school, she's a year younger than me, we had a lot of common friends, and we sort of came up with this hypothetic mall that I was going to run the computer store. Boy, there's a stretch. I can't remember what we were going to call it.
No, Chuck, you were going to do the hair salon.
We had a girl who was doing the cosmetology thing, and she was going to run a hair salon called Jill's Curl Up and Dye. And I think, I can't remember if it was Mitch or my sister, but they came up with a store called Rent-A-Friend. And sure enough, you know, if you didn't have any friends and you needed one for a party or something, and you were having a sleepover, you needed to rent a friend.
Hey, what happens if you want, see, you can fill out that D&D campaign.
So she came across a story on MSNBC titled Feeling Lonely? Rent a Friend. Such websites popular in Asia, gaining ground in U.S. It's in a not-so-secret double life. Jennifer Morrison is simply Jennifer, platonic friend for hire. I had more of the vision of, you know, store models that you could browse.
Yeah.
The reservation taker at a popular Las Vegas restaurant has accepted cash to show up an introverted, out-of-town computer programmer around the Pinball Hall of Fame and the Bellagio's famous dancing fountains. A bored grandmother visiting family from the Midwest hired her for an afternoon movie. A stay-at-home mom, who was new to the area, paid her to come over and do some scrapbooking.
Wow.
Morrison, 31, met a traveling businessman at the airport with a folder of research he requested on things to do and helped him rent a car. Wow. Oh, geez, she's going to be put out of business.
Hey, we're 18. Let's rent some guy to go buy some beer.
Rent-A-Friend receives 100,000 unique views every month and is nearly 2,000 members who pay $24.95 a month or $69.95 a year for a login and password so they can peruse the photos and profiles of 167,000 plus possible pals. All right, how much does it cost to rent a friend? Oh, well, Morrison is happy to meet new people and make a little extra money, charging $20 to $30 an hour. She's not the only one to think of lonely thoughts about the 7-month-old service modeling on similar hugely successful sites in Japan and elsewhere in Asia.
Huh. Aren't those called escort services?
Not necessarily. Escort's not going to come over and do scrapbooking with you.
Well. Interesting.
Hey, yeah.
Well,
I guess anything is possible.
It just goes to prove you can't buy love, but you can sure rent a friend.
That's right. You can't pick your friends and you can't pick your nose. No.
But you can get them over to move your couch. No. Something like that.
Next up is from NCAF. Every robot boy deserves a human exterminating toy robot kit.
Sweet.
Yeah. All right. From Gizmodo, it says, here, ready to be snapped out of the packaging are the endo and exoskeletons of the 3-foot-tall Mayan robot. This is the sort of toy that suburb-dwelling, human-killing robot youth will get for Robot Christmas in the year 2030.
Those Mayans were advanced.
Mayan.
Oh, Mayan. I'm sorry.
Now we know what Mayan nationality Bender is. The humanoid bot is a creation of Frackenball Polheim, an industrial design outfit based in Cologne, Germany, who sought to create a robot with modular design. All that means for us is that the robots will be able to replace their own heads if we manage to pop one off during the Great Robot Uprising of 2022.
Well, you know what I like? I'm trying to figure this out, but like the first picture there, it looks like they're in a model, like where you snap the pieces off.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
But then down below, the guy's holding a head with his hand, so it's like it's a lot bigger than it looks. I don't understand this.
And then the image below that, he's got him.
He's identifying gold bricks.
Yeah, he's gonna shoot the guy in the chest.
I'm going to steal this brick, gold brick.
It looks gold. Must be a gold brick.
Stupid human. All right.
Speaking of smart humans, though, NCAP sent us another one. A man designs a camera to replace his glass eye. Apparently, this Canadian filmmaker... let me just read the story. It's more fun.
Yeah.
When life gives you lemons, you clone those lemons and you make super lemons. When life gives you an empty eye socket, you design a tiny camera to fit inside and call yourself Eyeborg. Now that's EYE, so he doesn't get sued by Steve Jobs. Canadian filmmaker Rob Spence lost his right eye in a shooting accident. You'll shoot your eye out. But only recently have he and his collaborators completed a functional prototype of his new prosthesis that is also a camera. And there's a video on the website of him with his camera, and he apparently he put a red LED in there just for the fun of it to look more, you know.
Did he really, or is that shooting it into his eye? Is that-
Follow me if you want to live.
I am Lacutus of Borg.
No, the LED is actually in there. They've got a video of him walking around the street like that.
So the camera really works, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of grainy in the limited stuff they did show.
Yeah.
I don't think this is wired into his visual cortex quite yet, like some of the camera prostheses are. But he did show it on a video screen because he had... It was kind of grainy and choppy, or maybe that was just the poor quality of whatever site he uploaded it to.
Well, it sucks when they kind of keep upgrading the CCD because of megapixels, you know?
You can tell by looking at him that his eye looks a little different. They keep upgrading.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, you've only got a 5-megapixel right eye.
It'd be cool if it was Bluetooth enabled. You know, you could just sit there and take pictures and have it sent right to your camera, or your phone, rather.
I like it. I like it a lot. All right, I think
Wait. Look at the way he's dressed. I see the screenshot in the video.
Yeah.
You know, like the first frame. He's in a red suit, so it's kind of like the Bionic Man.
Well, yeah, they were showing the Bionic Man in the first part of that video. Speaking of bionic-looking men and more robotic Borgish things, Gizmodo had an article about a man who transformed his car into a robot. This is pretty cool. It looks more like a Transformers or Voltron or something.
It looks like a Transformer.
You wouldn't want to mess with this robot, weighing 90 kilograms and standing 2 meters tall. This robot was created from the designer's very first car, a Lada Samara Diva. Ooh la la.
Hey, you know what it reminds me of?
Huh?
Well, you ever seen those, it's not statues, but they're human cadavers where they make
Muscle tissue ones.
Yeah,
where they inject the poly stuff in there. Yeah,
that's because of the color, I guess. That's what made me think of it. I looked at it and I thought, wow, where's his skin? You know,
because he does have it is kind of an orangish pinkish tint to it.
Skin that robot.
Skin him. He comes in Star Trek skin and.
This comes in data flavor, and
just try doing this with your beat up jalopy. So very cool. I mean, very artistic and a good way to recycle.
Hey, my car's paid for. I'll go do it now.
This robot looks like he's ready to kick your butt.
Yeah, he's in a he's in one of those stances
attack
like
pose.
He's yeah.
Google releases a command line tool for accessing the web services. You stick this in here on me.
I did, because I thought it was really cool.
Okay, read on.
Well, what this is, you know, I'll kind of glance over it real quick. But anyway, Google had announced the availability of a new tool called Google CL, which allows users to interact in the company's popular web services directly from the command line.
Now, that sounds cool. What would you do with it?
Well, I mean, what if you had a folder full of pictures and you just wanted to upload them with a script? You know, you could, and it would upload them to your Picasa web.
Although modern desktop computing is increasingly dominated by graphical user interfaces, command line tools are still extremely useful for rapid interaction, simple programmatic automation, and remote system management. Google CL will make the Google-hosted data more accessible to common command line workflows. I suppose if you were uploading a file to the cloud or something, you just wanted to copy it down, why not?
Well, yeah, and this will also interact with, I think I read that it'll interact with Google Docs, so you can modify documents.
Nice.
You could take a text file on your machine, grep it, and edit a doc. You know, online. It's a there's a lot. I kept thinking there's so many possibilities. It's just like scripting. You know, you can do anything just about.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what how scripted it is. Does it have conditionals and flow control? And...
Well, down below they're mentioning grep and awk and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, nice. The author, yeah, Ryan Paul, says, I've tested several of the features, particularly the Gmail contact list support. It worked well with Google Apps account that I used for one of my own domains. The supported services and operations are documented in the project's user manual. You know, this would make a cool way to sync things, too, between domains. Because if you've got a whole bunch of contacts on, say, domain A, and you've got your standard Gmail account, and you wanted to merge them or something?
Or copy, yeah.
Hey. Well,
you can export and import, but yes, if you wanted to sync them, sure. Bless you. All right.
I muted. You didn't have to do that. Now nobody knows what you said bless you for.
Well, I muted me when I said bless you, so I'm scared. There. Breathing. Anyway, I kept thinking this is so cool. It's like, you know, when you figure out that, wow, with script, you know, with especially Unix scripting, you start going, wow, I could do this, or no, I can do that. You know, once you start to get it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of what I was doing the other day. I was like, holy cow, that opens up all kinds of possibilities.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, probably not for the average person, but for the developers out there and people with some computing background and
you know what's
and
funny?
Imagination.
And then it dawned on me and went, wow, that's pretty open-minded of Google to make something like this. Then I thought, yeah, remember Bill Gates was saying the command line was dead, what, 6 years ago?
Yeah, no one ever needs more than 640K, too, but he ate those words.
Yeah. Oh, well.
All right.
There's been plenty of gaffes. I can't just hold him for that.
We have a Remember When segment.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage?
Nope.
Technorama remembers.
We have the worst memory on Earth. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. IO9 had an article that caught a little funny. It said, the 1977 print ads of an unscrupulous time traveler from 2010. If digital artist Alex Veronese had a time machine, he'd go back to 1977 with a suitcase full of modern electronics and make zillions. Plus, the cheeky print campaign for Veronese's wood-paneled laptops and cell phone guarantees consumers that he's not a time traveler. Julie's got some awesome screen captures up here, but Craig, I thought of you when I saw these.
Oh, did you now?
Yeah. There's like an ad campaign in here with, he took the iPod back, gave it a little different front dial and some actual LEDs. Of course, Dancing Queen by ABBA is on the display.
Nice. I do like the headphones
there. Yeah, those big orange and yellow and red headphones.
I could actually use those for here.
Those were the official colors of the roller rink I worked at. And it says, would 4,000 LPs fit in your house? What about your pocket?
I like that, 4,000 LPs.
Yeah, and throughout the ads, if you read the fine print, it says, you know, we are definitely not from the future. They've got a wood grain laptop and a cell phone, and I don't know if that's a Game Boy looks like or a PSP or something.
By the way, that mobile Vox cell phone looks like a television controller. It looks like an Intellivision controller.
It clams up and it is thick as a brick. It's lovely. Yeah. And the games they have on their little PSP doodad: Place Invaders, Flogger, Pong, Asterisks, Pratfall.
You know, earlier in the show, you said, what would you do if you could travel back to 1977 or something like that? Yeah, what would you do if you time traveled to 77? I was thinking, you know, I would go and buy those Star Wars tickets ahead of time, so I don't have to stand in line. That's what I do. First order of business.
I'd bring my portable DVD player and go, na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah, walk around with your iPad.
That's hey, right.
Wait, why isn't there any Wi-Fi in here?
Standing in line. Losers.
Hey, stand in line watching Star Wars while you're standing in line for Star Wars.
Ooh.
Might start a riot.
And then you get everybody to go across the street for something else.
Yeah. It's over there. Yeah, actually, go the night before, move all the Star Wars signs on the building next door.
So you can be in first place? I'm not sure I understand.
Actually, I'd probably go get a storage building and buy a bunch of vintage toys and then open up a store on eBay when I got back. To
All right, we're going to take a quick... We are going to take a real quick break. I'm trying to enunciate now.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back with the media coroner.
That's coroner.
Where all the dead people go.
Yeah.
Look, it's Dean Haglund.
Good day. We got Dean Haglund here.
Busy man.
Busy man.
Yes, you are.
We're lucky to have you
here.
No,
well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Party on, Dean.
I'm not Garth. For those who don't know, I was Langley.
Supposed to help develop
people. He has weird friends.
Thank you. My major was theater, but my minor was physics and exothermodynamics.
I'm surprised you're still with it, man.
Exothermodynamics. That sounds easy enough.
I've heard enough of that already.
Click here for magic. There.
Aha, Watson, come here, I need you.
Man, it all was magic.
Yes, that's so right.
And X-Files on Ice is coming soon, right?
Isn't that something?
Dean the Skater.
It's going to be fantastic.
He never calls the help desk. He doesn't listen to podcasts. They listen to him. He can recite the original Star Wars trilogy, word for word, reproducing the sound effects with his armpits. He is the most interesting geek in the world.
I don't always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I listen to Technorama. Stay geeky, my friend.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Checking to make sure Julie's got the right graphic up. Whoop, there we go.
She's doing a good job. She's doing a good job.
She's doing awesome. First thing up in the media corner is from Star Wars that almost wasn't. 100 Things You Didn't Know About The Empire Strikes Back. This is actually kind of cool from over at IGN, movies.ign.com.
Darth Vader is Luke's dad?
How to quickly and accurately harpoon Cable and AT-AT, the red lucrative, way to freeze a Carillion smuggler in carbonite using the Force as a AAA after landing your X-Wing in the swamp. It says, The Empire That Almost Was. The original first draft of The Empire was written by Leigh Brackett, a prolific science fiction author, in 1978. The plot of the movie? Just a bit different.
Yeah.
And I quote, while Han Solo goes in search of his father-in-law, Owen Markel, who has political ties with Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker heads to the Bog Planet, where he meets a frog-like Jedi named Minch, who teaches Close. Him the That's ways right. of the Force, unquote. The film would have been open with Luke on the ice planet, which was not called Hoth at the time, overlooking a massive ice ridge, fascinated with the scene like he was in Tatooine's twin sons in episode 4. We know the permanent ice planet to be called Hoth, but in the original script, Hoth was the name of the planet that houses the Cloud City, and yep, Cloud City is no longer called Cloud City. Its name? Orbital City.
Wow.
The Imperial Walker sequence and ensuing battle is not in this script. In this version, the Empire does not attack the rebel base ever. Instead, Wampas attack and infiltrate our hero's icy compound.
Now, I have heard about that before.
In Lawrence Kasdan's draft of the script commissioned after Brackett's, the Wampas and the Empire attack the rebel base. There are images of the Wampa attack film floating out there somewhere. We hope and pray footage of the sequence will be included in the Blu-ray release.
Never.
Never. Once Luke is taken captive and turned into a frozen Wampa snack, the original draft deviates from the movie we all know and love. How so? Gone is the Jabba Han subplot and the bounty hunters, and in its place is Solo going after his stepfather, a man named Ovan Marakel. Ovan is a huge political bigwig who's carefully aligned himself with Darth Vader to protect the people and the galaxy. The rebels believe that if Han can get to him, he may be able to convince him to fight against Vader, giving the otherwise helpless rebel army a fighting chance. some of Ovan's backstory would find its way into the later into the character of Lando in the final film. Billy Dee Williams' Lando Calrissian was originally named Baron Lando Kadar.
Good lord.
All right. It just goes on with lots and lots of fun stuff like that. When Minch slash Yoda is explaining the ways of Jedi sword fighting, he calls on Obi-Wan, who appears, and then Obi-Wan and Minch Yoda have a lightsaber battle. Oh, that'd be great. Obi-Wan's dead.
Yeah. No, there's no way.
Hell hath no fury like a Wookiee scorn. In this version, Chewbacca gets jealous of Han and Leia spending so much time together. Whoa, stop right there. I don't even want to think about that.
Oh, okay. Actually, this sounds more like the plot of the Phantom Menace. Some of these names and weird things, yeah.
Yeah, maybe they should have had the same writers go over Phantom Menace one more time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Midichlorian count. Give me a what the hell? They're going to laugh at this on Gizmo.
That's probably what was cut out of Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, dang it.
Join me. Your midichlorian count is as strong as mine.
We got to go back and fix that.
Yeah.
No, really. We got to use the midichlorian thing somewhere. Put it in the first one.
Yeah.
They'll forgive us later.
Wait till you redo those three.
Thank you, Lingo, for all that. If you want to see the rest of the odd, bizarre facts, head over to the show notes. It's great fun. And speaking of Star Wars, I found out what Boba Fett wears on his day off. You got to see the web stream for this. Julie was laughing.
Right,
over at IO9, we've got what Boba Fett wears on his day off. There's a series of pictures, including not just Boba, but his dad, Jango. So Boba's sporting the, what would you call that, Julie?
Casual wear?
Capris.
Now they're just floods. A faceless enforcer, Boba Fett's distinctive armor strikes fear in the hearts of fugitives. He is legendary bounty hunter, accepting warrants from both the Empire and the criminal underworld. He is all business, iconic and deadly. But yet, he's apparently wearing a light jacket and some pants and high top shoes.
You can buy these at Kohl's for.
While his dad Chango likes the blue top. It looks like he's doing a double denim thing. I'm gonna go right by that. That's just wrong. They even have Jar Jar in some casual wear.
And he does his little turn on the catwalk.
I'm too sexy for this helmet. Too sexy for this helmet. Darth is wearing like a black blazer. That's lovely.
Yeah.
Couple of stormtroopers. One's got his pants on the ground. Pants on the ground.
Wait, that Darth Vader looks like a mall boss, man.
Yeah, I like the stormtrooper wear. One looks rather cash. So, yeah, good stuff over at IO9. The concept artist who thought this one up was just as bizarre as the next one.
Yeah.
Over at comicsalliance.com. Link Inc. What if Doctor Who were an owl? Get it? Doctor Who? H-O-O?
Doctor Who.
And they've got all the doctors here represented as little caricatures of owls.
Wait, that's more like a cat. I mean...
They've got the Tom Baker one all wrapped up in his scarf. They've got,
I like the scarf goes around the whole branch there.
No, all the other owls are picking at it.
Yeah.
They've got them all. The David Tennant one looks more like a wet, drowned robin or something. It doesn't look too much like... they're in order, so, you know, if you're familiar with some of the later ones, it's pretty funny.
Yeah. Hey, I like the little video down below where they got their own Stargate.
Yeah, there's another thing on this article. Julie, can you scroll down there?
I'm
not going to be able to hear it, but we can show it. Oh, you're going to have to resize the window. There you go. She's got it. My homemade Stargate. Somebody actually make this?
Yeah,
they built
the hieroglyphics move, you know, like on the centerpiece slides, and yeah, they were kidding about the guy throws a a red ball in there, and it doesn't. You see the side of it, but you don't see it go through the whole thing. It's like it went through the other dimension.
What?
And some of the people start running through it. It's kind of funny.
Later that week, the ball comes out the other. Yeah.
Hey, that's usually how it works in my work week. Yeah, start our week off, and it all comes out in some jumble mess at the end.
Where's the other half of the car? Oh, wait, it's back there. I see it. Yeah. It's hard to see. That's pretty funny. Yeah, you too can make your own Stargate. All right, finally we have one from AD Dude, Alexis. Oh, wait, no, I already did that one. What if Doctor Who was an owl? You have one more. That was our last link of this media corner. But you got one. Apparently, you, Julie, and Lisa all saw Toy Story 3 this week.
Yes. Oh, you didn't get to see it?
I did not. I was on a trip, dude.
You should have made some plans because
I know
was good.
I was really looking for the A Team, but couldn't find a theater nearby.
Yeah, the A Team was awesome. I enjoyed it. Big dumb action fun flick. But Toy Story 3, man, that movie was, you know, it was wow.
Was it good? Did it beat the rap of all threes?
Yeah,
yes.
It was really good.
You know, Shrek 3 stunk.
All right.
Most of the threes.
Yeah. It was awful. Good though.
Yeah, I love Toy Story, the first one. The second I thought improved on that to a degree, but they were both really good. This one was just, you know, on par, perfect. I mean, it was a really good movie. And
two seemed like a money grab to me.
No, I didn't think so. No. I don't buy that from Pixar because I don't think they had plans for, you know, they haven't done hardly any sequels until this. So
Yeah, DreamWorks makes money grab movies.
Yeah, but no, this, I think they make them to stand, and this one did, and there, of course, I'm not going to give away, of course, anything, but the end's kind of a tearjerker, and you're like, wow, you know, just like at the beginning Up, you know, that first 10 minutes, you start welling up a little bit, you know.
Julie, did you cry?
Almost.
Hey, you know, I had to ask.
I had to keep reminding myself that it was a kid's movie, and they wouldn't die.
Yeah, nobody died. But it was very good. Very good. I'll tell you what, it gives you a whole other perspective of daycare.
From a toys angle. That's right, because donate the toys to the daycare.
Yeah, you can see the trailer, you know, you can tell, but it's just, and you can gather this much. You look at it and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, a daycare looks like, well, you figure it out, you know, but from a toys perspective, it looks terrible.
Did you take Harrison?
Oh, yeah. It was my Father's Day present. I got tickets to go see it in 3D, which I did. And Julie can tell you, the opening thing was awesome. The little opening cartoon they usually put on
there. Oh, yeah. That was cute.
It was cute. Did you see it in 3D?
No, I saw it at a drive-in theater, which was a cool experience, but it wasn't in 3D.
Well, the 3D, you know, the way of the opening, and you can see a little clip of it on YouTube. It's black. It's like the characters are hand-drawn, but you can see the scenes, the, you know, CGI kind of scenes behind them, inside them, actually. And it was funny because you see everything's flat because it's black except for inside the characters, and it was 3D inside of them. It was kind of weird to see, but it was really cool. See, you miss out on all this stuff, Chuck.
I'm going to have to go see it. Apparently so.
Definitely worth it. Oh, and you know what's funny is the one character is the big purple, lots of hugging bear is his name, and he's like a big, fluffy teddy bear. You know, you hug him and stuff, you play with him, whatever. But what's funny is Pixar had created a vintage 80s commercial for the lots of hugging bear. So when you're looking at it, you're like,
oh, wow.
You start looking at the commercial, and for somebody like me or you, you know, we've seen these kind of commercials, you just start looking at it, and you're like, how did I miss? Did that thing really exist? Because it really looks genuine. And then they have a Japanese version, too. Lots of hugging bear. And you know what's cool is the video starts to play, and it has, like, the little VCR noise at the bottom. And it even blips out. The whole video blips out for a second, like the videotape screwed up. Very cool.
And cool.
Yeah.
I don't see that. It sounds like they really put a lot of work into this thing. It's not just a cheap knockoff follow-up movie.
Well, you know, I don't believe they make movies as a money grab. Of course, it's going to grab a bunch of money, but you go into Walmart, I think they've turned that into Toy Story Mart. Every aisle had something related to do, you know, from shampoo to hooded towels to Lego.
Oh, man. I mean, everything.
It was everywhere. Every they had three aisles just Toy Story stuff when you walk in.
Toy Story the flamethrower.
Yeah.
Adorable.
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. So I just thought that was kind of weird, but yes.
All right. Thanks for the movie review. Definitely going to have to go see it.
Yes. I'm not going to. Hey, everybody in the chat. No, I'm not giving anything away that what you wouldn't have seen in the trailer. Kind of figure out. So.
No spoilers. You didn't have to sound the alert.
No, I would not ruin. I tried to avoid. You know, sometimes I don't really care about spoilers on some movies, but this is one I was really trying to avoid some. And I kind of saw something this morning. I was like, holy crap. You know, why would you print that? But it didn't ruin anything. It's a great movie.
All right, that takes us to the end of the show. We appreciate you giving us your support. We want to remind you to go over to podcastmadness.com, enter the secret word green, and vote for Technorama as your favorite podcast. You can enter you can enter to win a prize. There's one being given away every month, and the end of June is coming up, so you want to get over there real quick. Podcastmadness.com. And thank you for all your support. Thank you for listening to the show. If you made it this far, wow! Like I said, 3 minutes of content, the rest we make up crap. Call the listener line and tell us what crap you heard and what you don't agree with and what you do agree with and what you have to comment on. 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. Email us at Technorama, or you can always zap one of us a quick Twitter message, C. Tomasi, Step K, or Technorama. You can find all this out and more over at the website, chuckchat.com. Don't forget about the tip jar, $2 a month. Special content just for you $2 donators. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. We're going to have another show coming down real quick about old computing instruments, antique stuff. This guy from work, Tom Dilatush, he's a font of old computing instrument information. I think he's just some kind of font. He's good guy. Good guy. Respectable programmer and collector of mighty fine things. And some of these things are worth darn good coin, too. So you won't want to miss that. Join now and get your video. There's that. There's the plasma cutter thing. We're just all over the place looking for great content.
I know.
Don't forget about the website. Survey, tab, easy to do, simple. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Thanks.
Special thanks to Mad Marv, who provides all the great blog content during the week. You want to go over to TechChat.com, subscribe to the Technorama feed if you're not already doing so. You won't want to miss anything between the shows. Ustream, thank you very much for giving us the live stream on Sunday nights and storing our video content so people can tune in later and just click and view and have all that good fun. Thank you to Steve Riekeberg and the crew over at thinstack.net for the chat room. We use that every week and communicate with all you wonderful people. It's a live experience. You're a part of the show if you choose to be so, or you can just secretly sit there and watch. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech, also affiliated with all the great podcasts over at farpointmedia.com, who also store all our MP3s for you to download and enjoy. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama and a binary high five.
101. There, just kind of threw it out there.
The Klingons have never been trustworthy.